Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Wanted a Sister, Not Brother, written by Janet L. Stickney. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing and check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. It's hard to say where a story begins, but I guess mine really began in the summer I turned 12. It was just another time I was mailed back to my mother. Let me explain. My parents divorced when I was 4 in the summer of 68. My sister Karen and I lived with our mother in New Jersey, while our father moved to Florida with his soon-to-be new wife. We lived a pretty normal life. Mom found work and rented half of a duplex house so we could move out of our grandparents' house. We lived a fairly normal life. Mom worked, Karen and I went to school. Karen is 5 years older than I am, so I pestered her, looked to her for protection, and envied her additional privileges like any little brother. I had trouble getting along with the other children. I was small and lacked coordination, so I tagged along with Karen and her friends. Karen would sometimes complain that she had wanted a little sister and not a brother. Years passed and I just never fit in. Being small and uncoordinated, the other boys my age did not want me to play in sports with them, and I was slow learning to read. So books were a form of torture. My only two escapes were the television and that I had a vivid imagination. I could sit in my room, close my eyes, and I could go and be other people. Being a daydreamer is addicting. When the world gets too tough, you just sit back and leave. This caused quite a bit of trouble in school. I was labeled slow, difficult, and more. I was the problem child, the stubborn child, the disruptive child. The other boys knew they could provoke me and get away with it because Brian can't control himself. We tried the Cub Scouts and Little League, but that didn't work because the boys I could not get along with at school were the same ones that did not want me in Scouts with them, and in Little League, I was hopeless. By the time I was 8, my mother had remarried. Doug was a good man, but he was older with no children of his own, so he had little time for a small boy. When I was 10, because of my behavioral problems, it was decided for me that I should live with my father and his wife. In a tearful goodbye, my mother put me on a plane for Florida. "If you ever want to move back to New Jersey, you just give me a call and you can come right back," Mom said. I was never athletic or particularly muscular, but my father felt otherwise. One incident in particular, when he had taken me fishing one night, and I was afraid to pick up and bait my hook with a live shrimp. I had never held a live shrimp and was frightened by the clicks they made when they moved. For over an hour, he demanded that I not be a sissy and pick up the shrimp. It wasn't until my uncle picked the shrimp up to show it couldn't hurt me that we could get back to fishing. Although my father did love me, he would criticize me when I failed to meet his standards of what a boy should be. My stepmother felt I needed refinement. I had hours of table manner lessons. I was dressed up in fancy clothes for school, and added to the fact that I could not throw a football to save my life, proved to my classmates that I must be a queer. At this time, after school let out for summer, I would be taken to the airport and put on a plane with a ticket and mailed from one parent to the other. My mother, now freed from raising a young boy, was able to go back to school and become a nurse. Karen's life had moved on as well, and I could not tag along now as she was dating, and I had never made any real friends before I moved, so I would spend long hours alone during the summer. A bored 12-year-old can be a dangerous thing. I still don't know why I went in to look through Karen's things, but I did. They were so different than my own clothes. Boys wore pants and shirts, period. Karen had lots of pretty clothes. The underwear drawer held so much more than underpants and socks. They felt nice and were in so many colors, not just white like mine. I don't even remember changing clothes. My heart was beating so hard I could feel it through the bra and socks I had stuffed them with. I slipped on a yellow dress I found lying on the floor and went back out to watch TV. It wasn't as boring now for some reason. When I heard a car pull up, I threw off the dress and hurried to my room, grabbed pajamas and ducked it into the bathroom. I took the socks from the bra cups and pulled my pajamas on as my mother was calling me. I flushed the toilet and stepped out. I wished Mom goodnight and went to bed, hoping they didn't see anything different about me. Lying in bed, I felt so confused. Why had I put on my sister's clothes? Were the boys at school right about me? This went on for 2 weeks. I would change after everyone left for the day and spend my time as a girl, and for once I was happy. I started taking long walks in the woods nearby, thinking about what I was doing. I desperately needed someone to talk to. I was about to confide in Karen or my mother when at dinner, Mom told us about her nurse's training Today at the hospital, an ambulance brought in a victim from a car accident. He wasn't hurt too bad, but when we removed his clothes for the doctor to examine him, the freak was wearing women's underwear, panties, a garter belt, and stockings, Mom said. Everyone started laughing. I tried to loose the shocked look on my face and forced a laugh, glad I had waited to tell Mom about myself. Now she wouldn't know what a sicko I was. What was I going to do? I couldn't talk to Mom now. I couldn't talk to anyone. Who would understand? Who would even care? I always thought the other boys who picked on me at school were wrong about me, but it must have been me that was wrong. I was a weak little fruit. I slept poorly that night, and my dreams had a darker edge to them. I was being led through the woods by some people that I thought I should know, but I could not see their faces. I didn't want to be with them. It felt wrong to be there, but I could not slip away. We walked into a clearing when suddenly one of them pulled out a knife and plunged it into my stomach. I awoke sitting bolt upright, clutching my abdomen. I decided what I had to do. I just had to figure out how. I don't want to hurt, so that leaves out cutting my wrists. I got out my sister's bike and rode 5 miles to a store we never shopped at and bought a bottle of sleeping pills. After getting home, I poured a handful out and started swallowing them. I was so worked up my stomach couldn't handle it, and I vomited them. I was so ashamed at what I tried to do, I spent the day crying in my room. It was 2 days later that I dressed in Karen's cloths again. By this time, I had made cest out of tissue paper, tape, and rubber bands. I started out wearing her black bra and panty set and a pair of her pantyhose, a denim skirt, from the back of the closet, and a white blouse. I was lounging on the couch flipping channels when I heard a car pull up in the driveway. No one was supposed to be home so soon. I had left things out in Karen's room I had to hide. I ran to her room when the front door opened. I pulled off the blouse and skirt. I panicked she was coming down the hall. I dove under the bed and was half under when the door opened. She was as shocked as I was scared. When she pulled me out, she just stared at me till she noticed I was crying. I felt myself wrapped in a hug. Karen telling me, "It's all right. Calm down." And then Karen held me at arm's length and said, "You sure are filled out for such a young girl." And then everything went black. When I came back to the land of the living, Karen was still holding me. She had taken one of my breasts out of the bra and was looking at it. "So how long has this been going on?" Karen asked. "I just was fooling around. I lied badly." "This," she said, holding up my tissue paper breast, "does not look like fooling around." "A month and a half," I said, fresh tears starting up. "A month and a half," Debbie said with surprise. I jumped because I never saw her come in. Karen shushed her and held me tight. "Please don't tell anyone. I'd die if anyone else found out," I said, omitting the stupid attempt I made 2 days ago. "Do you want to be a girl?" Debbie said. "No," I shouted quickly, then said, I don't know. "Do you want to be me?" Karen added, a soft, sad tone to her voice. "No, I just don't want to be me anymore. You go places. You have friends I don't." I started to cry again, and Karen hugged me until I stopped trembling. "Well, let's go someplace tonight," Karen said, removing the bra. "But you need to get dressed." Karen slid me off her lap and walked to her dresser in the bottom drawer. She reached in and pulled out her old padded training bra and handed it to me. "You are too young to be that big on top, Brian." Karen paused a moment. "No, Brenda, I think that fits you better." I jumped up and hugged her. Karen and Debbie started pulling clothes from the dresser, assembling an outfit for me. Just shorts and a t-shirt, I was told to strip off the pantyhose. My naturally curly, dark brown hair was cut in a long unisex style and brush out better in a feminine style than it ever did in a masculine style, almost like my hair knew something I didn't. A little blush, some lipstick, and we were ready to go. "I just need to leave Mom a note that we are going out," Karen said. "Let's go to my house first. My parents are gone for the weekend, so you can talk there," Debbie said. We left in Karen's green and rusty Buick. I still felt scared, not knowing what I was going to say. We were quiet as Karen drove with me, sitting between her and Debbie in the front seat. Debbie finally spoke up. "Do you just wear girls' underwear, or do you dress all the way?" "I was wearing the blue jean skirt and a white shirt when I heard you pull up," I said. "Well, you do talk like a boy. It's a denim skirt and a blouse, but I bet you looked cute in it." When we pulled up at Debbie's, we realized that we were all hungry, so we decided to order a pizza. Karen was relaxing after her shock of finding me in her cloths, so she went to freshen up. While Karen was in the bathroom, Debbie took me to her room and sat me down at her vanity and started working on my face. You need a little more color, close your eyes. How did you get those long eyelashes? I would love to have them. And started working on my eyelids, and then my cheeks. Then she stuffed some tissues in my bra to puff up my front. That looks much better. I opened my eyes at the same time that Karen entered the room, and she said, Oh my God, what have you done? She is some looker, your little sister, Debbie said, smiling. I had to admit to myself I was very pretty, much better than when I tried to put on makeup. All I did was add color, the rest was there to begin with. I'm not really ugly. It's amazing how others can brainwash you into thinking things. I had been told how stupid or how ugly I was so many times by my classmates that I had come to believe that no one would ever find me attractive. No, God, you're beautiful, Karen said. Debbie started digging in her closet and pulled out a denim skirt and red and white blouse. Here, put this on. Have you ever tried heels? I nodded. Well, let's see, try these, she said, handing me a pair of sandals with heels. Those are 3-inch heels. You want him to break his legs, Karen complained, but while they were talking, I fastened them on my feet and stood up. I can walk in them, but I have to take real little steps, see, I said as I took a few shaky steps. Karen and Debbie looked at me in surprise. You look a little tense, but not bad. Try pointing your toes more. Just then the doorbell rang. I went stiff with fright and Debbie went to answer it. It's the pizza, she called back to us, and we came out of the bedroom. She was still paying for the pizza, and the delivery guy started staring at us. I blushed and he smiled at me, which made me blush harder. Karen noticed and led me into the kitchen. What was that all about? Karen asked. He was staring at me, I said. Well, you are cute and you do have great legs, she said. I was embarrassed. I wasn't interested in guys, but I did like the way he looked at me. I guess I should have expected it when they said I was pretty. We sat down in the living room to eat. I confessed how I started wearing Karen's clothes and what I had worn. I told them how when I was alone, I felt more comfortable in her clothes. Debbie picked up a camera and snapped off a few pictures of me and Karen. We decided to go out, so we drove across town and saw the new movie Star Wars. When we came back to Debbie's, I changed back into clothes Mom could see me in and we went home. Mom had already started packing my clothes for my return to Dad in Florida. Summer was ending. Junior high was on the horizon, a new school, new challenges and new bullies. As you can guess, I could hardly wait. Ha! It was a boring flight back to Miami, interrupted only by the meal. Something they said was once chicken, I guess plastic green beans, gel, and some of a near flat can of soda. Dad and Gina, my stepmother, were waiting for me at the gate when the plane landed. We shared the news of how we each spent the summer. It was dark by the time we pulled up to the house, but Dad had seen something next door in the bushes. Brian, go into my bedroom and get my .38 from under the mattress by my pillow and bring it here, Dad said, as he carefully watched the bushes. He had told me about the robbery that had happened last week, down the block, on the way home. I went in and found the gun between the mattress and box spring. I didn't know Dad had one of these. This could come in handy, I thought. I brought the gun to Dad, and he shined the high beams on the bushes. Two men in dark clothes jumped from the bushes and ran for the car parked across the street. Dad pulled out after them, squealing tires. Gina and I went into the house to call the police. Dad came home 5 minutes later with the license number, and we carried my suitcases in. The police came and wrote out a report. I had already been told not to say anything about Dad's gun. It was late by the time the police left, so I was told to get ready for bed. School was starting the next day. Dad drove me to school. I went to give Dad a hug and a kiss, as I normally would, but he stopped me. Other people might misunderstand, he told me. I walked in confused. I was just overdressed. Everyone else wore jeans and t-shirts. I had to wear a button-down shirt with a racetrack design and dress pants. I was dressed better than some teachers. It was just a tiring day. Not everyone was new. I ran into some of the same people that made sixth grade hell, and they now each had others. They told how I was easy to pick on. I spent the day trying to avoid trouble, finding classrooms, meeting new teachers, and trying to eat the lunch in the cafeteria. Physical education was not fun either. I didn't like changing in front of the other guys. As soon as I got home, I started exploring in my stepmother's dresser after finding panties and a bra. I cleaned up and changed, picked out a simple yellow sundress. The day started to melt away. I had 2 hours before anyone would come home, so I had time to relax. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story and show your support on Patreon.